Moreover, between us and you a great chasm is established to prevent anyone from crossing who might wish to go from our side to yours or from your side to ours. I feel for the rich man. He doesn't seem like such a bad guy. He doesn't ask for much, just the touch of a finger dipped in cold water. When he cannot receive that relief, then his concern turns to his brothers, his five brothers, whom he wants to save from getting into the same place of torment. Abraham's answer, of course, is that his brothers already have plenty of warning, Moses and the prophets, and that even if someone should rise from the dead, here the evangelist makes a little nod towards Jesus, who in the story of the gospel has not yet risen, but in the writing of the gospel has already risen, that even then they would not change. However, it's the next question that the rich man doesn't get a chance to ask that interests me. He might say, "Father Abraham, I know that God is kind and merciful, so I know that God would not have created this chasm. Who made this great chasm?" And Abraham would answer him with some surprise at the question, "Why, my son, it was you who made it." This is really a story of two chasms. The one in the afterlife is described by Abraham, but the first is only suggested. The first chasm is the one between the rich man in life and Lazarus. Though Lazarus lies right at the rich man's door, Lazarus is invisible. It's not that the rich man torments Lazarus, it's that he just doesn't see him. They lived on opposite sides of a human social chasm that put the rich man and Lazarus in different worlds. The chasm located at the rich man's door was at least as wide as the one in the afterlife. Abraham says that the great chasm prevents anyone from crossing who might wish to go from one side to the other. But that's not true. Jesus can cross. He crossed the great divide of death, so he can cross anything. And while there are chasms, both human and otherwise, there are also bridges, human and divine. Jesus is the great bridge builder. He brings together strangers to become friends. He reconciles those who are in conflict. He opens our eyes to see truly those around us. In the great bridge builder, we all have hope, even the rich man.
So when we have been looking at our lives, perhaps we see the chasms. Perhaps those chasms were exactly what brought us to the novena of grace. The chasms between us and others, between classes, between identity groups, like the ones that Father Mike mentioned yesterday. Maybe chasms between our own family members. And they can feel so large, and they can cause such pain. And so we may have called these chasms to mind, brought them into our prayer during the novena, wondering how they might be crossed, wondering, God, can you bridge these divides? Or in our lives, we might have also been feeling alone, alone like Lazarus, just waiting to be comforted, waiting to be seen, desiring just the smallest bit of nourishment to keep ourselves going. And so I don't know about you, but something has happened in our time here together. Something very sacred, something new. I can just feel it. Through the beautiful intentions that were written, through the power of the word proclaimed, through the spirit moving and the reflections and homilies and the taking of the Eucharist. And maybe for some of us, walls have come down, or sight has been offered. Bridges may have appeared for us to walk across. Comfort offered, nourishment received. And perhaps we have felt caught up in something, have felt wrapped in the garment of divine grace. Maybe this happened in the pew while we listened, or on our knees after we received the Eucharist. Maybe up front at the end of Mass when a minister prayed over us. Or maybe it happens in a conversation with a family member as we processed an insight. Or maybe in the quiet moment of prayer and the in-between tasks of our day. Yes, there is a sense that in these 9 days, God has seen us. Or rather, perhaps more accurately, we have had the real sense of being seen by God, that we haven't been just passed by. And so it's hard to know what will happen tomorrow, when we won't come together like this, won't hear our petitions read, won't sing our beautiful songs of worship, won't greet each other at the sign of peace or receive a blessing from the minister at the conclusion of Mass. Our little faithful community, while we may still see each other and the comings and goings of everyday parish life, there is a sense that we will be scattered, and that is hard. And there is grief at the end of something when all of this simply becomes a memory. So yes, there is grief. And we have the memories. And our memories of what moved here in us, they are precious. I once learned this insight of memories being so precious in a conversation with a spiritual director who was a Jesuit while I was telling him about the most intense experience I had ever had of God. And at that point in time, when I was telling him about this experience, it was almost 10 years in the past. And he told me, you know, that might be the most intense experience of God you ever have. But trust that that experience, that memory, it's still unfolding. And so being a Jesuit in this very Ignatian way, he told me to pray with the memory of what happened, to replay that memory of what happened in my imagination with all the details that I could call to mind, and notice where God's presence was. For God might still be doing something there, still revealing something new, still speaking through that one experience. The past was not just past. No, the past was still present, still unfolding now. After all, is this not what we are doing continuously around this table, allowing one event, one night that transpired between Jesus and his friends, to be the memory that we keep remembering, the memory that keeps unfolding, keeps nourishing us every time we gather as a community to remake us anew. So perhaps we might take time in the coming week or weeks to pray with a memory from this novena, to recreate a moment in our imaginations of a time when we felt wrapped by God's grace. For that might have been just a small opening to an even greater gift, greater insight that God wants to grant us. So I invite you now, if you feel comfortable, to close your eyes. And call to mind one experience you have had during the novena where you felt God particularly close?